official show of ASU's women's hockey team. Welcome back. You know, after about a month or two off, we are back. We are here live in the Blaze Radio studio. It's so good to be back in the air. And good to see you too, Parker. We have a lot to talk about, but real quick, I want to ask how your winter break was. How you're doing? How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, winter break was really good. I got to cover the Peach Bowl, so that was a lot of fun. Fortunately, ASU couldn't pull it out, but, you know, we're hoping that this ASU team can get it done.
Yes, we're definitely hoping that. There's some big games coming up, and we missed, obviously, a game as well. We'll get into that in a second, but, again, welcome back. We are back for the spring semester, final half of the season. Should be an exciting time for everyone, you know, in the hockey world, not just the NHL, but, you know, NCAA. You know, the ASU team is going bananas right now. I mean, you can even go to the or the ACHA, and that's what we're going to do real quick. And we're going to start out with probably the biggest news of the past 2 months, because there was a lot of news, but this is probably the biggest news, was that you know, a couple of the players did go overseas to Italy. I think the city's called Torino, but they did go over there. We went over this a couple episodes ago that Lindsay Ellis was named the head coach of Team USA, and also you know, named to Team USA was Ellie McKenna, who was later named captain of the whole thing. She's obviously the captain of ASU. Also named to the team was Sydney Paulson, Kylie Brown, Lula Swanson, and Quinn Inger. All five participated in Team USA's World University Olympics, which is basically kind of like the college version of regular Winter Olympics. And so they went overseas, and they finished in fifth place with a 3-2 record. Let's go over these games real quick. Teams they did beat. So they did beat Slovakia 4-3 in a shootout. That one was a scrimmage, though, to start off the Olympics. They then lost 6-3 to Czech, and then they lost 5-0 to Japan. But they did beat Kazakhstan twice, 5-0 and 8-2 to end the whole tournament. And then a whopping 14-0 game barn burner against Great Britain. That was an insane one. That was like one of the only ones that I was able to get up and watch. You know, eventually Czech did win gold over Canada. So that was cool to see. I don't know. For me, it's exciting when it's not, you know, the usual two suspects getting up to the gold. I believe gold. I believe Canada did win gold in the men's version of the whole tourney.
Yeah, I think I saw that online on their website. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they should invite NCAA players over to the Olympics, but that's a whole different conversation for another time. But anyway, a couple of the players did score. Lula did score twice and against the whole tournament. I believe that's a five-game tournament that they played. And then Sydney Paulson scored, I believe, in the Japan – not Japan, the Great Britain game. And then Kylie Brown also scored. And, yeah, not, you know – maybe the ideal showing from Team USA, but it's cool to see this happen. I know you probably didn't see any of the games, but, you know, just looking at everything that we just went over, you know, thoughts, questions, whatever.
Yeah, I was wondering, did they have a team last year, USA, that participated in this?
So it's every 2 years, I believe. Okay. Every 2 years.
Say, like, I don't remember this last year, but it's great, you know, having Lindsay Ellis, the head coach of that, too. I looked. I think all three goalies that were on the roster got time, which was nice, too. So it wasn't like Quinn was playing every game in net for Team USA, which is nice. So everyone that went out there got playing time. And I think really more this was just an experience for the players, you know.
Yeah.
We don't even know really what the talent looked like of these other countries that were there.
That can tell you what Great Britain looks like.
You can, but, you know, I think it's great just getting – their players out on the map, and, you know, especially an opportunity for club hockey players. You know, this is probably going to be one of the highlights, if not the highlight of their playing career, getting to play in Italy and representing their country. You know, for me, I mean, that would, you couldn't ask for much more.
I agree with you. I think, you know, it's great experience. You know, playing for your country, it's awesome. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, Team USA was, you know, just slapped all over the ice, because it's not true. I mean, they slapped Great Britain all over the ice. They played some really close games, especially against Kazakhstan. the one against Czech was actually pretty close when you think about it, and they were the eventual gold medalist. It was cool. I bet it was very cool for the players, and we'll get to talk to them a little bit about that in the coming days. The unis, I gotta say, were pretty cool.
Yeah, those were nice.
They were very nice unis. I did not see the white one. Let me check to see if they have it. Oh, there's the white one. Yeah, the white one's pretty nice. I think I like that one the most. But it looks like, you know, there are a lot of highlights. I think the one that I did see a lot of was Holly Hansen's goal. It was posted all over social media. It was a very nice goal. She obviously plays for Utah. She's probably one of the better players in the whole league. I know she's – last we checked, I think it was, she was top five in scoring. That Utah team has just gotten better and better. But she scored a pretty goal. I believe Fussy played a really good tournament. I think she was the one who led Team USA in points and stuff. Obviously a Liberty University representative, so good to see some of their players make it out. But overall, you know, it's cool seeing a lot of these players get to the, you know, the highest showcase, which is playing for your country, which is super cool. I love that, you know, obviously Lindsay Ellis, that's another achievement in her many achievements across, you know, college hockey. And just shows, you know, so these ASU players, you know, even though Lindsay Ellis chose the team, they deserve to be there. I think Lula had a great tournament. I think Ellie played well defensively. I mean, obviously Quinn was in net for a lot of these games, and it's good to see her, you know, get some reps. Yeah, overall, just cool experience. Obviously not the outcome maybe they wanted, or obviously wanted, I should say. Fifth place finish, 3-2 record, but not horrible. Could have been worse. And I, again, really close games. My question was, how many countries were there? Because, like, I've never seen Kazakhstan have a hockey team. That's pretty cool.
I think it was eight, I wanted to say.
Something
for
like
hockey,
that.
For the women's hockey, at least. I think it was eight. I'm not 100% sure, though.
That was cool seeing a bunch of these teams, you know, go out and do that. Japan, I didn't know they had a decent hockey team. That's cool to see, too. But, yeah, so Team USA basically took Ellie McKenna, Sydney Paulson, Kylie Brown, Lewis Swanson, Quinn Inger, and Lindsay Ellis basically out of the equation for the second game that we're going to recap, which is ASU, what we're here to talk about, obviously. And they did have their first game after winter break. They did lose to the Kachinas in a scrimmage game. I mean, not really notable or anything, but that was back in early December, I want to say, November-ish, I don't know, somewhere around that, but a month ago. And they did play Michigan State, which is a ranked team. Unfortunately, 6-4 loss for ASU. Kind of expected with your head coach out and five of your best players also out. Like, they were definitely shorthanded. But they did get goals from Paige Bryan, Bree Powell, who scored two, and Hannah Coons. Brooke Kimmel was in net, faced 33 shots, obviously 28 against. It was basically a 5-4 loss, empty net for Michigan State. ASU is now down to 14 in the rankings. They were there last week, but I believe that was after this Michigan State game. So, yeah, that is notable. Obviously, that snaps, you know, a little bit of a high they were on. Because, you know, you go back, they took McKendry to OT before the break, and they won against McKendry, who was at number two, and they won some games against GCU and stuff. And this kind of snaps it. But again, you're missing your head coach. You're missing your best players. You know, obviously, you weren't there, Parker. You were covering NCAA hockey. I wasn't there. I think in my three seasons of covering this team, this is the first game I've ever missed. I was in Utah covering the Clubbers, the Utahns. But, you know, just from the outside, Parker, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at these lines. I don't know if they were posted, but it's really good to see, you know, Brooke getting another start at net. And, you know, they only lost by two to a really good Michigan State team. They're number 15 in the rankings this week, one spot behind ASU. I mean, that just is a testament to their depth, you know, only losing by two to a good team. It's great that they're able to be that competitive against a good team.
It was basically only one because Michigan State did score an empty net. It's more of a 5-4 game, as Andre Turney would say, too.
Yeah.
But it's good to see Paige Bryan on the board. You know, good to see some scoring from her. I'm sure, again, I didn't know what the lines looked like either. I'm in the same boat as you. But, you know, as one would expect with all these players missing, a lot of these players got increased ice time.
Yeah.
I don't know who was in the game, who usually is a healthy scratch, which kind of sucks, but I'll have to look at that later. But, again, I'm assuming that Bree Powell got more ice time. She usually gets a lot of ice time, but you know, if Sydney Paulson gotten, if Kylie Brown gotten, Lewis Swanson, yeah. who's usually getting a lot of ice time. It's good to see her score two. She has a hot start already to the second semester. You know, flashback a year ago, and Bree wasn't even playing because she was injured, so it's good to see her there. Hannah continues her trend as probably ASU's best defenseman, honestly. Yeah. Like, she's been impressive so far this season. I've really liked everything that I've seen from her. Again, Brooke, good to see her get a start. And again, like, we saw what Brooke has the potential to do when we saw her sub in for Quinn against, you know, some decent teams.
I think that Arizona team game went to overtime. That overtime, she started.
That was a good game. That was a great game. And Brooke held her own against a lot of good players. So it's good to see her. Again, this does put ASU, lower in the rankings by a spot. I'm sure if Lindsay and Co. were there, they would be moved a couple spots down. But I think because, you know, obviously Lindsay and all of them weren't there, and I think there's some excuses. I mean, I'm assuming Kenzie was behind the bench. I don't know who was behind the bench, but I'm going to assume that was Kenzie. So it's good to see her, you know, get some head coaching in. I'm sure Evan was, you know, coaching well, and all of the coaches on there. I'm sure it's hard missing a coach as well, so especially your head coach. So let's look at their schedule upcoming. I mean, we're going to talk about the four straight games that they're going to play this weekend. I think that's the most amount of games they've played at home straight this season. Trying to find their records real quick because I do want to see where they're stacking up right now. They do have a 6-4-2 record now after 12 games played. We're about more than halfway through the season now. UMass leads all the independent teams, but again, that's not really saying much because they have been playing worse teams, and they have played six more games than ASU. Looking across the whole ACHA, it looks like Adrian College doing pretty well, 18-3-0-2 record. McKendree with 19-3-1-0 record. Midland, who we're about to talk about here, 17-4-1-0. That one's going to be a tough, you know, beat. I do want to look at WWCHL real quick, just, you know, they're always interested. 13-2-1 record for Colorado, who currently leads that conference. Colorado State right behind them. Utah, 10-9-0-1, and that's your top three in WWCHL. And for people who are eyeing that team down south, they are 5-5-3-1, and they have some big news coming out of Tucson. Carson Hellman, it was revealed over the past couple weeks that she has been committed, or she committed to Arizona. Obviously, she left this ASU team over the offseason, but Arizona gets a very good goaltender. Posted a 6-2-0 record last season with ASU, a .923 save percentage, and a 1.75 goals against average. She helped ASU to their first WWCHL title back in 2023, and she was actually named the MVP of that tournament. Played past three seasons with ASU, and last season was kind of the end of her career as a Sun Devil. You saw Quinn kind of take over, and she was kind of relegated to the backup position. And, she left over the offseason, and now Arizona gets Carson Hellman. They add to their ASU alumni, Riley Armstrong and Brittany Bridell. Looking at this move, Parker, what do you think? And what do you think of this Arizona team now?
Yeah, I'm assuming Carson didn't play this year, right?
No, she hasn't played a single game.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what her level is at early on next year in the season. But I think it's, you know, she has experience, and I think that's what, you know, any new and developing program is looking for, especially, you know, what she can pass down to other goalies they have on the team. So I think it's a good add. You know, her numbers historically here at ASU are good. So it's a good pickup for sure.
Absolutely. You look at their goaltending right now, it's not the best. You have Olivia Sorley with a 2-4-3 record, one tie as well, a 3.19 goals against average, and a .924 save percentage, which is pretty good considering that record. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you have Lauren Hannafin, 3-1-0, 3.87 goals against average, and a .885 save percentage. And not the best numbers. They might have dropped one of those goaltenders with Carson Hellman now committed to them. Not sure about that. You look at their skater position, it's good to see Brittany Bridell tearing it up, and I think she was named the captain, I believe, over the past couple of weeks as well. 9 points in 12 games for her. Bryn O'Neal leads that team with 15 points in 12 games. And like I said, I think this is a huge add for Arizona. They get a goaltender, which you know what you're getting. You're getting a WWCHL MVP. And that's not saying much maybe to ASU right now because they are independent. They aren't playing WWCHL, but Arizona is constantly playing Arizona or WWCHL teams. And I think, you know, on that level, I think Carson Hellman, we know what she is. She can beat those teams and she can easily beat those teams. And I think that's going to be interesting going into the second half of the season for Arizona as they aim to, I believe, I don't know if they're in the WWCHL because I've heard different things. They're in the ACHA, they are in the WWCHL. So let's just pretend they're in the WWCHL. They're aiming to get, you know, into that WWCHL playoff tournament. Top four teams in the WWCHL make it. I'm going to go back to the records real quick. I want to see what teams currently hold that. So that's Colorado, University of Colorado, Utah, and then GCU currently holds it with a 7-10
good for them. One
record. Good for them. They lead it by a point over Arizona, though, and they're going to have to finish strong. It's going to be a tough one because Denver's not far behind. They have 10 points. Even Montana apparently is still in it with 9. So your top three spots are pretty much clinched. It's that fourth spot. Arizona's going to really have to work hard to get that.
They also have like 6 games in hand over Utah.
They do.
Utah's played like 20 games, which is the tied for the most out of, you know, the WWCHL.
With good old Montana. Yeah, so that's going to be tough. But Carson Hellman, we know what she brings. That's going to be a huge addition. And I think the big thing that everyone is thinking of, February 1st is going to be a very interesting game as they play ASU at Mullett Arena.
Senior night, right?
Senior night. That is going to be electric. Carson Hellman versus Quinn Inger, which it's probably going to happen. The duel of the two ASU goaltenders, that is going to be an exciting game. But we have 4 more games before then because ASU, as mentioned, plays 4 straight games at home, their most straight at home this season. They will play Midland back-to-back games and then UMass back-to-back games. Let's look at Midland real quick. As mentioned, they're super good this year once again. Obviously, not as good as last season because last season was incredible. I'll compare it to the Boston Bruins of a couple years back, you know, present trophy winners, and then they do go out, and I believe it was either the first or second round, unfortunately. But they had an unbelievable historic season. This year, they're pretty good as well. 17-4-1-0, 22 games played for them in that tough WMCH conference, which arguably is the toughest conference in the whole ACHA. They are currently ranked at number 4. Looking at their players, I'm going to check this out real quick. Midland. Callie McGarry Callie McGuire, I should say. 27 points, 22 games. Darby Poole, 18 points, 22 games. And Taylor Bell, 16 points in 22 games for Midland. And then goaltending wise, Natalie Rampton, 7 wins for his team. Megan Stewart with 10. I believe their coach was named Coach of the Year last year, I want to say. But yeah, again, pretty good Midland team. It's going to be a tough test. Parker, what do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I like that, you know, Midland has played some of the teams ASU's played. Like, for example, they lost to McKentry this year, which I know ASU split. I believe they split that series at home against McKentry. They have also played Maryville, which I think we played earlier in the season on the road to open that road trip. ASU did lose 6-0 to Maryville, and Maryville lost 2-1 to Midland. So some of the teams ASU has played, they've played pretty close comparably to Midland. So, you know, this is going to be, like you mentioned, a tough, really tough matchup. Really important 2-game series here, though, at home, you know, hoping they can at least split this one, if not sweep.
I agree. Obviously, you're going for the sweep, but yeah, this is going to be a tough one. I don't think ASU's played Midland in a while, so these two teams aren't familiar with each other. I don't think I've seen them play each other in the 3 years I've been with the team, so it's been a while. And then you go to UMass, who ASU has played before. I believe that was back in the 2022-2023 season. They played them on the road. It was a win for ASU. I don't remember the final score, but they did. ASU did win. And they play them back-to-back games, and those are going to be early afternoon games. Yippee. Shelby Little leads that team with 13 points in 18 games. Brianna O'Neill, 12 points, and Abigail Dunn with 11 points. In goaltending, the current leader in wins, Mary Honan, with 4. Sarah Matthews has 3. And if you're looking at UMass, they are currently 8-6-1-3. But you look at their goal differential, they're in -9. I'm going to look at their schedule real quick. But Parker, looking at that team, UMass, obviously a weaker team, but still maybe a tougher team than some of the WWCHL teams that ASU used to be playing.
Yeah, in their most recent game, I mean, they actually beat Michigan State, which ASU just lost to by a goal, and they kept it to a one-goal game against Michigan. So, you know, they're playing competitive hockey right now for a team that's, you know, in the WWCHL. You know, we, like, on paper, if we look at this, you might think ASU's a little better. You know, this recently how they've been playing, these games have been close. They've played in their past 4 games have been one-goal games. So they're playing in a lot of tight score games, which is, you know, good to have that experience heading into, because they're going to play University of Arizona first, and then they'll play Arizona State for a 2-game series.
Yeah, and UMass did play a couple games against WWCHL teams this year, including against Utah. They have played a lot of games against ranked opponents, including against Michigan Dearborn, and they kept them to a goal, so that's pretty, you know, it's pretty close. And they will play Arizona, so we'll get to see how they play. And we'll see the score of that game, and we'll get kind of deciding outcome of what's going to happen there. But Parker, real quick, as we always do, let's do some predictions. Your prediction for ASU's record coming out of this 4-game weekend, and also who do you think will score the first goal against Midland tomorrow at 8:30?
So I think they'll go 3-1. I think they'll split against Midland, but I do think they'll sweep UMass, I think those games are going to be a lot closer than people think. In terms of goals, that's an interesting one. Let's go with Mara Draper. Get her first as a Sun Devil.
I've been calling that one. I hope it happens. I hope you're right. I'm gonna agree with you. I think they go 3-1 on this road trip, on this homestand. I do think they split against Midland. I think they win the second game actually against Midland. I'm gonna go more unique there. I do think they sweep UMass, but I think it's gonna be closer than the last game that they played against UMass when they went on that East Coast road trip. In terms of goals, you know, I think there's a lot of them. I think – so I'm going to go with two answers. I'm going to go with the one that I think is going to happen. I think this other one is going to happen sometime over this weekend. I think the first goal of the whole weekend will go to – I'm going to go to Lula Swanson if she plays. I think she will play. I'm going to say Lula. She's obviously on a heater with Team USA, and I think she's going to carry that momentum going into this weekend. But I'm also going to say I think this is the time that Kate Streak is going to get a goal. And I think this weekend she's going to do it. I think we've reached that point where I think she's looked pretty decent in her past couple games. And I don't know. This is the weekend that I think she's going to get her first as a Sun Devil. So we're going to go with Streaker. But yeah, that's pretty much going to do it for the first episode back, spring semester, you know, fun times up ahead. We're obviously going to talk about nationals coming up soon. We'll see if ASU makes it. This is obviously a big test for them. Those Midland games especially could move them up or down the rankings, but we're going to end it off here. Parker, where can they find you on socials?
Yeah, you can find me at parker.beh on Instagram, and then the same goes for Twitter.
And you can find me at @ChaseBeardsley_ on Twitter and @ChaseBeardsleySports on Instagram. We'll be back next weekend to recap this weekend's events and games. Again, you can listen to What You're Talking About on all podcasting platforms, even Amazon Music. Yeah, unique enough. But we're excited to be back. We're happy to be back. Don't go anywhere because, you know, this is going to be a fun half this season. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, guys.